As we prepare to turn the calendar to 2019, this is a time for considering the changes, the ebbs and flows of life. We turn to the timeless wisdom of Ecclesiastes for our first reading. The reading, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8, begins. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The second reading on this Sunday following Christmas jumps us ahead in the story. Now Jesus is a young man, and we hear the story of the boy Jesus in the temple, Luke 2, 41 to 52. The reading begins. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, source of our love, and the wellspring of our joys. Amen. Jesus is born. Amidst all the glitz and the glamour of the season, for some, Jesus is born. Amidst all the despair and the sadness of others, Jesus is born. Amidst the myriad of emotions that we all have felt this season, Jesus is born. The Son of God, born in the flesh, unto you, unto me, comes. We sang, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come, and he has come and arrived for you and for I and for all people in all time." Now what? Now what? Jesus has been born. Now what? Now what? The answer to that question is we spend the following 12 days Christmasing. We ponder the nature and the meaning of this Christmas gift, Christmasing in these days. I suspect you might be similar to me in that these last few days, the days between Christmas and towards New Year's, when all these holiday closures and all the kind of changes in our schedule have thrown you off a little. We spend these days a little bit disorientated, don't we? We kind of have a bit of a turkey eggnog kind of haze, and we just wake up and we don't know what day it is. We don't know what to do. We don't know what we are to do with our days. Now what? The greatest gift given to us in our faith, the gift of love in flesh, has come to you and I and the world, and we say, now what? Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with all people in all places in all time. And we say, now what? And I think that's what these 12 days of Christmas are truly all about. It's about pondering the now what of the Christmas story. The now what? I mean, I know it might have seemed like December was all about Christmas. Certainly the retail stores, if you took your life in your hands and went there, were all about Christmas. And the radio stations were all about Christmas. But those days in December leading up were about preparation. They were about getting ready for Christmas. They were the season of Advent until the 24th, 25th, whenever you celebrated Christmas. And these 12 days from Christmas until Epiphany's January 6th and the visitation of the Magi next Sunday are all about the now what? The pondering the nature and the meaning of this great spiritual gift you and I have been given. Now what? The text, the gospel text that we'll primarily focus on this morning in the Gospel of Luke, is a big leap chronologically with Jesus. We left him wherever you were on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. We left him in the manger, a baby swaddled by his mother there in the manger. And we leap ahead 12 years. He's now a young man. He's a young man, and he's where? No surprise, he's in the temple. The Holy Family, prior to this story, had returned for that liberation festival of Passover. They had returned to the holiest of places, to Jerusalem, to gather with their family and friends and celebrate that liberation when God passes over and liberated the Jews out of Egypt. They had gathered there, they had celebrated, they had worshiped, and now they were heading on their trek home. Back home. But they forgot one thing. They left Jesus behind. Imagine with me what that would have been like. This 12 years old, sitting among the elders in their robes and their beards and all of their wisdom, so esteemed in their teaching, and Jesus is there in their midst. Just take that in for a minute. Jesus is there in this young age, sitting among them as one of the elders, listening to them out of deep respect for his Jewish tradition, and asking questions. Story. This story is all about the revelation of who Jesus would be. This revolutionary that would change the world with his life is revealed in this story. And this leads us to what I think, for me, as I was studying the text this week, what was the most significant part, at least that spoke to me. I mean, I don't know about you, but it struck me that Mary and Joseph were almost terrible parents. I mean, almost the likes of Marge and Homer Simpson kind of parenting here. I mean, they have left. They've gone, left Jerusalem, gone back towards homeward bound, and they forget their son. I mean, what kind of a parent does that? I mean, they're looking in the back seat and, honey, I thought you had him. Well, I thought you had him, honey, and there's no Jesus back. I know they didn't have back seats, but that back then. But they left Jesus behind. And they searched, and they searched, and they searched. what they found, what we find in that story, is a realization of who Jesus was truly to be, a revolutionary that will change the nature of faith and culture for all times and all places. They search and they search, and where do they find him? Find him, temple. What I find, though, the most interesting, did you catch how many days it took to find Jesus? A very significant number. It becomes a very significant number around Holy Week and Easter time. It took them 3 days to find Jesus. How many days did it take Jesus to rise from the dead on an Easter morning? 3 days. How many days did it take Jesus to transform the world's understanding of death into new understandings of life with God's power? 3 days. How many days did it take them to realize that this Jesus was not just a babe in arms, but would change the temple and its teachings and all things in between? 3 days. Now, aside from pondering the nature and meaning of Christmas, I suspect that you're also, like me, doing a bit of kind of that New Year's Eve resolution reflecting as well. I mean, how could we not? We're sometimes pondering the nature and the meaning of Christmas, but we're also making New Year's resolutions. We're all getting ready to turn the calendar over into 2019. As I've been hearing some of the resolutions that people have shared with me, it's such an honor to hear these kind of stories and people's hopes and thoughts for the future. A couple kind of categories seem to kind of get kind of the threads that I'm hearing. Certainly one is around wellness. People are resolving in the new year around, certainly around reducing maybe their weight, increasing levels of fitness, or changing the ways they would eat, reducing maybe alcohol, smoking, those kinds of things. And then there's also some resolutions around doing new things. Doing new things, perhaps volunteering in a new way, learning something new, or taking a trip, some new thing that they might like to do in the coming year. And as significant and as important as these are, and sometimes they last for a while, don't they? I mean, sometimes New Year's resolutions, they even last past your first cup of coffee on New Year's Day, right? I mean, sometimes they last for a week or two. Sometimes New Year's resolutions change people's lives. But as significant, as important as New Year's resolutions are, I would suggest that the pondering the nature and the meaning of Christmas is even more significant for us spiritually. Because there's a difference between New Year's resolutions. What we're talking about this morning as we're thinking about Christmasing is not making a resolution, but making a revolution. What we realize in this story is that Jesus is not about making a resolution that may or may not stick. Jesus is about making a revolution that will change the way people understand everything. Jesus' birth was the birth of the revolution of something that would be new and that would change everything in all places and in all times. In those 3 days, the parents did not just discover a young 12-year-old boy that they were so distraught that they had lost. In those 3 days, they discovered a revolutionary that would change the world. He would birth a new way. He would challenge the established order of the day, the synagogue, the culture. He would challenge everything that would threaten so many. He would sit among the elders as a place of equality, even at the age of 12. And then he would listen intently, holding his tradition in deep respect. And then after hearing and sitting among them, then he would ask them questions. He would ask them questions, the why questions, out of deep respect for his tradition. And he would say, why are some loved and some not? Why are some beloved and some cast off? Why are some children of God and some not? Jesus was birthing a revolution for all time and all places. And our call in the Christmasing story is about living that revolutionary Christmasing life, embracing the sacredness of this life. embracing the fragility of the time that we are given in this brief life that we have, this gift of this life, and living it out in faithful ways of grace and love and service. Jesus is born. Now what? Now is the time to start a Christmas revolution the world has never seen. I wonder what church would really look like if we really started a Christmas revolution. I mean, I wonder what church would look like if we really started a revolution the kind that Jesus started. As we move into this new year, I wonder if we can open up some space enough in our hearts that Jesus might be born there. That Jesus might truly be born into our hearts in a fresh, new way, that we might allow his life to be lived out through ours. I wonder if we might be willing to stand up, to truly stand up to some of the injustices that we see in our world. I wonder if we might be able to stand and speak truth to power in the world. I wonder if we might be able to speak his revolutionary ways and have them lived out in our ways of living and loving and serving. Mahatma Gandhi is remembered well as saying, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." Whenever I hear people make comments like, you know, politics have no place in the pulpit, I remind them of stories like this of Jesus, this revolutionary who sat in the temple and challenged the established authority in ways like this. Because we all love the kind, gentle baby Jesus, don't we? We all love that baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloths, held by his mother and looking at her and you and I with unconditional beams of love. But friends, there's another Jesus that's born on Christmas Day. There's another Jesus that is a revolutionary Jesus that is there to turn the world upside down, that is there to change this world for the better, that is there to welcome the stranger, to feed the hungry, to change the world in the ways God had only dreamed that we would do. So, Jesus is born. Now what? May we make resolutions to live out Jesus' revolutionary way this Christmas and into this coming year. Amen.